You want to go and take your Bibles with me and turn them to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. If you remember the past couple weeks as we've been going through a couple different passages, we looked at last week and how one is not to be surprised by fiery trials, but to prepare now and to make sure that there is not a lack of continual growth in the believer's life, even during good times, even during easy times, but that we should have a desire to grow continually closer to our God. And then a couple weeks ago, we looked at one of the ways that we are able to do that is to look at godly examples. And following after, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, to follow after him and mark those as well who are godly examples that help lead us to our Savior Jesus Christ and how we ought to be living. Well, this morning on that same line, as we look at something that is very, very crucial to the life of the believer, but it is often something that is sometimes neglected. It is often something that is sometimes put off or thought of not to be important, or even when it's done, it's more sometimes the motions. And it's very easy to fall into that, and that is reading our Bibles. For us as believers to grow, for us as believers to continue on in that growth and to learn, we ought to be in God's Word. And as we go through this text in 2 Peter, we see the Peter how he puts the importance on the truth of God and the need that one has to be in it. Give you a little bit of context. Peter goes in the first part of this chapter and he writes about the hope and the salvation that the believer has in Jesus Christ, and then give some instructions on how that believer ought to be living their life and following after God in the new life they have in him. And then we get into this section, and if you'll be there with me, in verse number 12 in chapter 1, where he begins to try to stir up the believers. In verse number 12 of chapter 1, it says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Let's go and open in a word of prayer and then dive into this text this morning. Father, I again come before you and thank you for the privilege and opportunity that we have to gather. Father, I thank you so much and praise you that we have your word so readily available unto us. And as we go before it this morning, I pray that our hearts might be open to the Spirit's leading. And Father, I pray that you be with us this morning and allow us to seek in how we might apply this to our life and to be honest before you this morning as well in areas that we need to grow in or in areas that we have neglected in our spiritual life. And Father, I pray that you be with me as well through this and use me and give me strength in Christ's name. Amen. We as believers, as one looks at the great salvation that we have, we see that Christ died on a cross and rose again. Though we were undeserving, though we deserved to go to hell, God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us that we might be saved. And at salvation, we were born again onto a new life, no longer to living towards this world or living to flesh, but a life that is following after God, a life that is to be holy apart from sin, a life that is to have a focus on that which is eternal, not of that which is temporal or of this earth. And how do we navigate? Because we as believers, as we're called to live a life onto that which is eternal, to have a focus on that which is above, we still live here on this earth, this sinful world, and we live among great multitudes of sin from others. We live from world's wisdoms and their false teachings. How do we know how to live? Well, very simply, it's by God's instruction through his word. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer, that we might know how we ought to live day by day and how we might learn and grow in him. Peter is writing this to his readers that he hopes to stir them up by bringing them into remembrance. Now, in our passage, Peter is looking at this truth in verse number 12, as we see at the very end, and be established in the present truth. Present truth in verse number 12 can have an understanding from the Greek word or of what it has to say, understood as the truth which is with you or the truth which you have received. So this is the truth that they have been given. These would have been the teachings and writings of Peter and the teachings and writings of other apostles as well that were among them as they taught of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they also taught of God's truth as God used these men to speak through. And we today have such a great privilege that in our hands, many of you I can see out today, have God's word on your lap. That we have such a great privilege that we possess the truth of God's word in our life, which is the Bible, which is Scripture. And can I tell you how very amazing it is that we that live in America have such readable access to Scripture? Whether it be on the internet from your phone or just being able to go to almost any store and being able to buy God's word. It is such a privilege that we have in today. And the word of God is so crucial and needed in our life as we live day by day. This is why we see Peter call to the believers to be in remembrance of the teachings of God's truth. Peter wanted to bring believers in remembrance of the true teachings of God, of the true teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we possess today, which is Scripture, which is our Bible. And it can be easy for us as we possess the word of God, and I think it's very easy sometimes to our own sadness that Scripture almost loses importance in our life, or it becomes something that sits on our shelf. whether by neglecting to read it or simply reading it, just going through the motions because you have to check off your reading for the day, and that's your mentality. I read over these words, I read over these letters, check mark. Or whether it be that you're not even opening the Bible at all, though it's so crucial. But I think it's also very easy in the day we live in that many neglect the Word of God. And neglectfulness is very dangerous. Quite a few years ago, during the time of, well, the very beginning of COVID in 2020, I was living on my own in a prophet's chamber in the church I was a youth pastor at. And when everything shut down, I was pretty much by myself about 5 to 6 days out of the week. Almost zero contact with anyone except when I went to the store or except when I met with the senior pastor and we got to work on the services and recording of that. And so you know what I did? I went out and I got a fish, a beautiful betta fish. I had someone with me. It might be silly. It was kind of an impulse buy when I was at Walmart, if you can believe that, a fish being an impulse buy. But I had that fish for many months. But you know what happened? I was getting married later that year. And some of you know that one of the things you do when you get married is you have lots of showers and different events. And so I made my way down to Ohio for a wedding shower. Now, what I had forgotten to do is say, hey, can someone feed my fish? I came home and that fish was no longer with me. It went down the toilet. I had neglected my fish. I had neglected to think about it even and to make sure that it was fed. And what happened? It died. What happens when the Word of God is neglected in the life of the believer? Can I share with you? If you're neglecting the Word of God, how do you expect to grow spiritually? If you're neglecting the Word of God, how do you expect to grow in His knowledge and His wisdom? This is why Peter hits very hard to stir up believers with the truth of God's word. A believer who is firm in the truth of God's word is one who is able to stand firm. He is one that is able to grow, and he is one that is able to not be swayed so easily. That when difficulties, temptations, trials, persecutions, whatever it might be, or false teachings, that the believer who is firmly establishing God's truth is not swayed to and fro, but is firmly planted. We see that truth in Ephesians chapter 4, in talking about a believer who is firmly planted in the context of the church as well. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. If we are to make sure that we are strongly established in God and his truth, that when difficulties, temptations, false teachings, whatever it might be, come, we ought to be growing and we ought to be in God's word to be able to do that. That way we might know his truth. That way we might know how we ought to live. That when these difficulties comes, whatever it might be, we're able to point back to God's word and know in how we ought to live. And to heed to the Spirit as well as we go through his word. This morning we are going to be participating in communion or the Lord's Supper, which Christ tells us to do so in remembrance of him. And the purpose of the Lord's Supper, the purpose that we do this for, is that we might be in remembrance of our Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. That way, we might not be forgetful, that we might be constantly in reflection of our Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, and even having a reflection of our own salvation, that we do not become forgetful, but that we know and reflect on what he has done. And this is needed throughout our lives as believers, that we are in constant remembrance of what God has done in our life, and also, as Peter is pointing here today, to be in remembrance of God's truth, to be in remembrance of God's word that we behold today, many of us in our laps. And this is even true for believers who have been saved for a long time, or you might say, I know the truth of God's word. I've studied it. Maybe you've read through the Bible, a couple of times, and you say, I'm pretty good. I got what I can out of it. Well, let's look at verse number 12 again. It says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Now listen to this. Though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Peter addresses readers who know God's truth, and he even says that they are established in that truth. And so his focus was not on teaching and saying those who are newer believers or those who are young spiritually to try to stir them up. No, he's saying even those of you who are established in truth, who know God's word, He is hoping that they are stirred up by being in remembrance of God's truth, and that they might continue to grow, that they might continue to be in God's word and be in remembrance of it. And the purpose of this is that a believer be in God's word, that he be in remembrance of its truth, that they not be neglectful, they not be forgetful of God and his word. And if we're being honest, how often have we neglected the word of God in our own life? How oftentimes have we let God's word sit on our shelf for a week on end until it's Sunday, and then we pick it up to bring it to church? We have the literal word of God in our life, in which we as believers have been saved by the living word, and we are now looking through to the word for nurturing and growing in how we ought to live in our daily life. The word of God is powerful, and it is crucial for a believer's life. And we should not be neglectful of it, but rather we should be in God's word daily. We should be meditating on his word on a regular basis to bring ourselves in remembrance of God's truth in our life. And this is how we grow in the knowledge of, in learning God's word. This is how we grow spiritually in seeing how we might apply God's word to our life, and seeing how we might grow, seeing how we might put off certain things maybe that are present in our life, and saying, I need to put that off, and I need to put on in obedience to God what he has commanded us to do. And Peter knew that this was such a crucial thing for the believer because it is, as he wrote this. And we see that Peter writes this unto believers as he's expecting his death as well. The word tabernacle that we have in these couple verses that we read relate to the human body, that he's talking about himself. And he starts and he writes about in verse 15, he talks about for them to be in remembrance after he dies. In verse 15 it says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." Peter knew that his time on earth was not forever, as we all do, and unless the Lord returns, we will all one day die. Peter, though, was looking, as he was looking towards his death, pointed his readers back to the truth of God. And this is because men will die. Men will come and men will pass away. You know, as Peter, as he came and as he died, men will come and die, but the word of God will live forever. God's truth is everlasting. Our dependency should not be on man. That Peter is saying, be in remembrance of the truth. And as I look towards my own death, I hope you are continuing remembrance of the truth of God even after I'm gone. This is not to say that fellow believers do not help us grow, that teachers and pastors and brothers and sisters in Christ don't help guide us and lead us through Scripture and help disciple, encourage us and teach us and comfort us through God's Word. But the main point of all those things, as we as believers come together and help one another and to preach and teach one another, disciple, edify, and so on and so on, it is through the Word of God that we do so. And this is because of a very simple truth. Men are sinners. We are not perfect. We don't have all-knowing wisdom. But our God does. His Word is perfect. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we see Paul talking about how one presents the truth of the gospel to one another. In 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 in verse number 5, it says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul says, we don't preach ourselves, we preach our Savior, Jesus Christ, who we are servants. My goal when I preach is not to look so great to all of you or to pass on wisdom that I have learned off my own self, but it is to point you from the truth of God's Word, to guide you through His Word. Men falter, but the Word of God is perfect. It is through the Word, His Word, that we know truth. The Word of God does not depend on men, but men are dependent on the Word of God. Peter, in these first couple of verses, in showing how he is desiring to stir up his readers and to bring them in remembrance with the truth of God, is a great challenge to us. Are we in remembrance of God's Word in our life? Are we allowing the Word of God to stir us up? We must not neglect the importance of God's Word in our life. We should be in remembrance of it and allow ourselves to be stirred up by it. that we might come before God's word with a desire and saying, Lord, show me in how I might grow. Stir me up. God's word is such a crucial thing in the believer's life, as it's where we get truth from. And we ought to be not forgetful or neglectful of his word, but to be in remembrance and seeking to be stirred up through it. We see as we continue further that not only does he point the importance to being in remembrance, but Peter also touches on the evidence of this truth that he is sharing in verses 16 and through 18. Peter, after showing the need for the truth of God and his word in their lives, now gives evidence to the truth taught by him and the other apostles' teachings as well, to show that it was indeed the truth of God. Peter, in these verses, is combating attacks from false teachers or those who are making accusations that the truth that they are teaching is just their own teachings. It's not of God. And that they have these people who are coming in and trying to contradict them, to try to even push their own teachings, their own agenda. But Peter goes forward and he says, you know, this is the truth of God. This is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he shares some of his own experience as a witness of the gospel of Christ and the truth of God. And this is why in verse 16, we see that he says that they have not followed fables. Verse number 16, as it says, for we have not followed cunningly deceived fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter and the other apostles were not teaching clever stories. They were not trying to teach these things that were made up. The different writings that we have in Scripture from Peter and different apostles and from prophets and so on. It's not just the made-up word of man or their own stories or fables that they're trying to get past. Some even today still attack the Bible. They still attack Scripture, saying that it's just full of stories and there's actually no truth in it. Peter, in combating these false teachers and in showing the truth of their teachings, is doing so by sharing his own eyewitness account. The account that he shares here in these next couple verses is talking about the event that we see through the Gospels of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. This is the event in which Peter is referring to, which is recorded in the Gospels. If you want to go and turn to me to Matthew chapter 17 and seeing the account that Peter is summarizing to kind of see it in its fullness more so. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 in the first 9 verses, if you want to follow along with me. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." As I mentioned, Peter wrote a summary of those verses in the text we have today, but that kind of gives you a more fuller picture of what Peter is describing here, of the event that he was an eyewitness to. As we see in verses 17 and 18, we see Peter's summary of this as he says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." This event, as it becomes, Peter is showing and sharing that this is confirmation of the truth that they are teaching from God as he spake to them. As they saw Christ in his glory revealed and heard the words of God spoken to them. Peter references this to show that the gospel that they were teaching and the truths that the apostles were teaching were not made up, but were in fact the truth of God. Peter is arguing that these things are not man-made stories or fable or myths, but in fact, they are the very truth of God. They are God's very words. And the summary that Peter shares confirms the truth of the Old Testament, and also confirms the truth of the Gospels and the New Testament teachings. As we see, as they have been shown the revealing of who Christ is by the voice of God and by seeing his glory. And they learn that Christ was not just another man, as some may try to claim, but he is God. And not only did they see the glory of Christ, but they heard God the Father state who Christ is. And the Father, our Heavenly Father God, as we look at Matthew chapter 17, we see that there's three things that he mentions to these witnesses, Peter being one. First off, that Christ is the Son of God. Not just another man. Not just as some accused him of being just another person or maybe a prophet, but he is the Son of God. You look at John and you see the theme through the gospel, of John as he is portraying and showing that Jesus Christ is God. Secondly, we see from this is that the Father is well pleased with Christ. There were many such as Pharisees who said that Christ was going against God and going against God's teachings and his truth. That Jesus, as he lived here on earth, they found him guilty of blasphemy, of trying to go against God's word, but God shares that he is well pleased with Christ. He is not one who is at ends, but he is one who is obedient unto the Father. And God is well pleased with him. And lastly, as we see in the account that we see in Matthew, is that God tells them to listen to him, being Christ. And this shows the authority that Christ has as God to speak before them truth. And as we see this, it also we see the affirmation of Scripture as Christ fulfilled the law. He came as the prophets had said that he would, and Christ, who has the authority, as we just saw as well, often pointed and quoted Scripture to others in teaching them. Even in pushing away the temptations of the devil, Christ used the truth of God's word. Peter, by sharing what he witnessed on this mount, shows that what he and other apostles are teaching, or were teaching, are not just fables or stories that they made up. They're not just the fiction of man's mind. But their teachings are the truth of God, the truth of his words that we have written down before us this morning. And Peter points to his experience of what he witnessed to show the authority of this truth. And I think that our experience of the gospel in our own lives also points to us knowing the truth of God's word. As we as believers have experienced, as we've trusted and put our faith on Jesus Christ, as we have been saved and have been born onto a new life, no longer to sin, we have experienced the truth of God and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Paul even calls the word and truth of God as the engrafted word onto us, because it is a part of us. We have experienced its truth on our salvation. So as we look and we're in remembrance of God and his word, as we seek that we might be stirred up, that we might be in a regular basis seeking God's truth, we must remember that this is the literal word of God. As God spoke through faithful men in writing his word. It's not just a book of fables or stories, but the literal truth of God that we might heed, that we might listen to, learn from. And we see that he applies the very practicalness of this truth in the believer's life as they live day by day in the last verses of this chapter, in truth shining through darkness. In verse 19, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The world that we live in, the world that we as believers continue to live in, among this sin, among temptations, among persecution and different difficulties, it is a very dark world. And this is probably not a shock to any of us here. God often, throughout his word, used the analogy and the illustration of sin being darkness, this world being darkness, but the truth of God being light that shineth on it. We even see that truth in John chapter 1. And those of us who are saved and possess this truth and possess the light of Christ in our own life and can walk in light rather than darkness, we are to do so. We're not called to walk and to stumble and to go towards in living in this dark world. We're called to take the word of God and allow it to be a light in our life and how we ought to live. The darkness and the sinfulness of this world can sometimes be hard to walk in. But thankfully, God has given us his word that it might be a light onto our feet and help guide us. In Psalm chapter 119, we see the truth, which the light of this light being of God's word. Psalm 119 in verse number 105. Saying, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We see that Christ is the light of men, as John chapter 1 verse 4 tells us. And God is light unto darkness and so is his word. And so scripture helps guide us through our life as we navigate this dark world that we live in, and how we might live in obedience to him, how we might live in the new life that we have through Jesus Christ, that we as well are lights among this dark world as we are saved through Jesus Christ. And scripture helps us to see what sin and what different lies or false teachings are ahead of us, and so that we might not fall away in the midst of darkness or be deceived or fall into these things, but to have light. Many parents can probably relate to this. I used to, before kids, very carefreely walk through my house with the lights off early in the morning, especially in the winter. I don't do that anymore because I've stepped on, I've tripped on toys, puzzles, you name it. You know, you try to clean up the night before, but there's always that one little puzzle piece, or there's always that one little toy that will find your foot in the middle of the night. So I now turn my phone flashlight on, or I turn the lights on as I get up early in the morning, if the light hasn't gone through outside yet. And I do that so I don't stumble, that I can see what is in front of me, that I can avoid dangers or painful things. And it's just the same as we walk among this world and we possess the truth of God's word and allowing it to be a light onto our path, that we are able to see what is false. What are the world's lies? What are the things before us? And the Holy Spirit also used the word of God to help guide us and help us grow in our Christian life. We must heed to God's word as Peter has instructed, so we might not fall or be stumbled in this dark world. And we are to do this until Christ returns. And Peter gives a declaration about God's word as he finishes this chapter in sharing what God's word is. In verse number... verse number 19, as it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. This first one that we look at, sure word, carries the meaning that we possess the prophetic word as something that is certain, something that is sure. And so as we possess this certain or sure word among us, which is the word of God, we're able to go through our life and depend on it. We are able to not have to worry about how we might go move forward, because we have the truth of God in his word. And it is sure, it is certain. Remember, how did Christ combat false teachings, you know, among him, and how did he combat the devil in temptations? He quoted scripture. He said, "It is written," to the devil. He pointed them back to the truth of God's word, and it showed that the devil in his temptations was lying. So it is as we live among this world, and we live among various different teachings, various different wisdoms, various difference of man's ideas, or even our own flesh and how we might think we ought to live. When we look at God's word, it reveals what is truth and what is sinfulness and what is lies. Does it line up in what God is saying in his word? Is this thing in obedience to following after God's word, or is it contradictory? Is it different, or is it leading me away from truth? You know how you're able to be able to go and at, even as Christ did when temptation comes, to bring scripture into it and say, those are lies. I am not falling into that. I'm staying true to God and his word. Do you know to be able to do that, you have to be in God's word? You have to know his truths? Again, going back to the such importance for the believer to be in the word of God, that as we live among this dark world, this world that tries to influence us and lead us to its own ways, we ought to not be following after that, but to be following after the truth of God. To be able to be in remembrance of God's word, to be able to see in what is truth and what is not according to God's word, you must be in God's word. It's kind of funny to think that, you know, if one is preparing for a test and, you know, and saying, you know, man, I got a test coming up. It's really important. But I didn't study the material. I didn't read the book. I didn't do any of that. How well do you think that's going to go? As we looked at last week, we are not to be surprised when fiery trials come, because God's word is clear. We go through hardships, persecution, and trials in our life. How can we prepare for them? By being in God's word. Not just be following after the teaching of men. It is great to come and to be under the teaching of God's word and the preaching of God's word. But don't neglect your own personal reading of his word in your devotions and in your own study. God hasn't told us that as long as you go once a week to church and hear the preaching of God's word, you're good for that entire week. On the contrary, God tells us to be in his truth. God tells us to meditate on his truth, to be with him in prayer. Peter declares that scripture as well, not only do we know its truth by the affirming of his eyewitness, but he also describes that it is given by the Holy Spirit as well. I don't want to pass that up as it's at the very end of verse 21. That again, this isn't the word of man, but this is the word of God, as the Holy Spirit moved through holy men. Scripture is not just thoughts or of man's interpretations. It is the truth of God. Men are not perfect. We are not perfect. Don't allow us to rely on our own selves. Don't allow us to rely on just the words of man, but allow us to be seeking the truth of God in his word. Peter, in showing that we can have confidence in going before Scripture, in going before God's word, that we are able to navigate this dark world that we as believers live in, that we are able to have confidence of its truth and how we ought to live our life. Peter, through this text, is trying to stir up his readers to remember the importance of the word of God in the believer's life. And sometimes we need to be stirred up. We need to be in remembrance of his truth. It is important. God's word plays such an important role in our lives. As it helps guide us and share light into this dark world, as it allows us to be grounded in truth so we are not swayed by false teachings or swayed by other things that come to be, and that we might grow through the reading and teaching and preaching of God's word and being able to have the Spirit help guide us and help apply his truth to our life. And so as we look at this text, I ask, have you neglected the word of God? Have you not been in remembrance of truth, of God's word? If you have, if I encourage you greatly to go and to study his word every day. And I encourage you as well to map it out. Don't just say, I'm going to read my Bible, but to even look at your daily schedule and say, well, I have this time of my day free. I'm going to set that time apart to studying God's word and spending time in learning and in prayer. And I think such an important aspect of that is our focus and our realization on how important Scripture is to us. We've gone through very in detail of everything that is brought about by the truth of God's word in the believer's life. We've talked about how important it is. And hopefully you see that, you recognize that importance, and it becomes an important thing into your life day by day, that it's not something that you're doing just the read over the words to check that box, because that's not great either, just reading over a page just to be able to check it off or to get through it, but to come and see the importance of God and his word, and to have a great desire to go before it and to learn and study, that we might be stirred up, that we might be able to be in remembrance of his truth, and that we might be firm and established. If you've neglected God's word, or if you've lost sight of how precious his word is into your life, I encourage you to get back in it. Heed to the word of God. If you're one here today and you're saying, yeah, I read God's word, I read Bible in my devotions and you know, on a regular basis, I encourage you to continue on. And don't fall into the pitfall of thinking that you've achieved a certain spot in your spiritual life. Again, Peter's writing to people who are already established and already know the truth that he's teaching, but he's bringing them back into remembrance that they might be stirred up. Continue on. Continue to go before God in his truth and seek how you might apply it to your life. Don't fall into the lie that you've achieved a certain level and you're good and you're okay to kind of take a step back. Every believer is ought to be in remembrance of God's word and to be stirred up by it. No matter how many years you've been saved, no matter how many times you've read through the Bible, but to continue on, that we might continually grow in him and his word. Let's go and close in a word of prayer. Father, I pray this morning that we are believers who have a great desire to learn from your word. Father, I pray that if there's any here who have neglected your word, if there's any here that have lost the precious importance of your word in their life, Father, for them to seek you, to go before you and to seek to be in your word. Father, and for those who in your word allow us to continue to be in remembrance of it and how we might apply it to our life, and seeking the Spirit as well and how we might apply and guide our life, Lord, and also allowing us to continue to grow, Lord, until you call us home or until Christ returns. Father, allow us to be faithful with your word day by day. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.